сонечко,
припекло,
припекло, ясно щире золото.
From Winnipeg, Manitoba, the lovely Chuchman sisters, Olesya and Andriana, from their CD Vesnyani Nochi, Spring Nights, and a tune that's rather apropos to the season, if not the actual weather out here on the West Coast. This song is commemorating the arrival of spring, which we're a few days into, though you'd never know it by the weather out here. But that song was Vesnyanka, Spring Song. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». Говорить Павліна Макварі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-Makwara, your host. Thank you for joining me. Whether you're a first-time or long-time listener, tuning in on AM, FM, or shortwave radio on your mobile phone, time-shifting, via podcast, streaming, however you're tuning in, a very warm welcome to you. Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian Food Flair. Sylvia Molnar will be by with a recipe that is very traditional, at least around my house, at this time of year, or coming up to this time of year, which is Easter, and any other major holiday, you're going to find this dish on the table in my house. And that is studenets, and that, for the Ukrainian impaired who are not familiar with this dish, is jellied pork. It is delicious. And Keith is by. He'll be bringing us news from Ukraine and more on the money woes that Ukraine is experiencing with the IMF, and also a very inspiring story about a special school that is helping troubled youth in Ukraine. As well, an interview in the second half of the program with Zenon Kohut, who is the outgoing director of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies at the University of Alberta. And he'll be joining us with a look back over the past two decades of accomplishment at that institute. As well, we'll have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next from Edmonton, the Kubasonics, from their fourth CD, their most recent, and it is called Play. And if you recall my cranky comment at the opening of the show about the unseasonably warm weather that everyone on the continent except us out here on the west coast of Canada seems to be enjoying, where it's in the month of March, it's been snowing every other day, and here it is officially spring. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in Hawaii.
А я фармарую, ходобу пекаю, як на нім дороблю, їду до Гаваїв. Кажуть, у Гаваї є пані кюки, ходять всі в бикі. Віднички з трави Прода пару стірів Та й не гроші маю Купив собі тикет Їду до Гаваїв Сів на аеропляна Їду до Гаваїв Свою господину
б'ється, серце мені не б'є, серце мені не б'ється, і майже мене зумлів, дівчатко не біче так, як королів. Скину себе шмат, я бейлінг сучі брав, і що я добічу, з ними сяк купав. Дівки обступили, кажу, де луга, а я їм беру, кажу, I come from Canada.
Now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on their Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
Я люблю ті степи неозорі, де безмежна ясна долина, де у росах купаються зорі, і пісні окриляє луна. Я люблю це розгорнуте небо, що хмарки голубині несе. Тебе я люблю над усе. Я чекаю, шукаю щоночі у степу і в зеленім гаю твої ніжні усміхнені очі. Я їх в зорях нічних пізнаю. Цілую, підемо разом по рідних степах, бо про тебе любов молодую, кожен колос шепоче. хоче снопа. Бо про тебе любов молодую кожен колос шепоче снопа.
And from the United States of America, that was Andriana Knapp, and that was a song called Ya Lyublyu, I Love. And it is from a CD that she sent me that she had actually recorded for her own wedding to Greg, and that was in August of 2007. And when we chatted just before Christmas about her Christmas CD, she indicated that she's in the throes of creating a new CD of Ukrainian folk songs, non-seasonal, and this tune just might be on it. It's not out yet, but she's promised to let me know when it is. So, of course, I'll be sharing that with you when it is. Up next, from Montreal, this is a new artist and new CD to Nash Holos. Just recently came in the mail from the artist himself, Volodymyr Mota. And this is from a CD that he recorded. He is a basso bandurist, by the way, which means he plays Ukraine's national instrument, the bandura, and he sings in a beautiful bass voice. And this is a CD called Trashevchenko Poetry in Song. So very apropos, our last Sunday in March, and March, of course, being Shevchenko month. So our last program paying tribute to Ukraine's great bard. Here now is Volodymyr Mota with a song called Reveta Stochnya Dnipr Shirokey, The Mighty Dnieper River Roars.
Ревета стогне Дніпр широкий, сердитий вітер завіва, додолу верби невисокі, горами хвилю. Додолу верби невисокі, горами хвилю підіма. І блідий місяць на ту пору, де, де виглядав, не наче човен у синім морю, то виринав, то потопав, не наче у синім морю, то виринав, то потопав. Ще треті півні не співали, ніхто ніде не гомонів, сичі в гаю перекликались, та ясен раз у раз скрипів, сичі в гаю перекликались, та ясен раз у раз скрипів.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Oh, for glorious garlic. Hello, everyone. Just so you know, I'm having a student ants attack. That's right, a top-of-the-line soul food dish of jellied pig's feet. So brace yourselves. I still make it to this day in my mom's old pressure cooker. I know some people say rapid boiling will make the broth milky, but I've never had that happen, and I've been making student ants for a long, long time. I like to eat it with a piece of good rye bread and some extra garlic that's been mashed with salt. Oh my, my mouth is watering. We all know that garlic has many healthful benefits. This has been well documented. So, may the goodness of garlic grace your table. Take 6 pig's feet. Some recipes use half pork hocks, so you choose. Soak the pig's feet with 2 tablespoons salt overnight, covered in the fridge. Drain and wash the feet or trotters thoroughly. Place the feet in a large pot with 2 tablespoons of salt. Cover with cold water and bring to a boil. Skim, then add a large onion, 4 to 5 cloves of garlic, and a bay leaf if you like, and for sure add black pepper, 1 teaspoon, or a dozen peppercorns. Remember, this will take a while for the meat to cook until it comes off the bones easily. Separate the meat from the bones and cube. Place in a 9 by 13 inch Pyrex dish. Crush 1 clove of garlic and add to the juice. Stir, then drain the juice thoroughly through a sieve over the chopped meat. Stir slightly and chill thoroughly. Before serving, scrape the fat off the top and serve in slices or squares. What a treat. Oh, call me if you should need anybody to share your student ants with. I'll bring the wine. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Тик-тик-тик-тик, а ты гуся, сюся, сюся, а ты кашка. rytmo skáče a ta kurka čupa turka vyjde moje kůročka. Chod, tak chodí po sanočku, kuča to čako ty tají vody kůročka. Chod, tak chodí po sanočku, kuča to čako ty tají vody kůročka.
Oj, služil je pána, taj na šosti líto, zaslužil je pána, ty je to za líto. A ty je osem vyje, a tvoj barom kruto rohy, a tvoj indik tik 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 tik, a ty husie susie susie, a ty kažka drito skáče, a ta kurka čupa turka vyjde moje kuročka.
Chodí, tak chodí po sadočku, kuča to čako ty tají voje kuročka. Chodí, tak chodí po sadočku, kuča to čako ty tají voje kuročka.
Oj, služil je pána, taj na siome lito, zaslužil je
a ta dívka napila se, pala v neči zabila se, a ty ty je chvostom věje, a tvoj barom kruto rohy, a tvoj indik tik 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 tik, a ty husie susie susie, a ty kašo drito skáče, a ty kurka zžuba turka vyjde moje kuročka. Chod, tak chodí po sadočku, kuča to čako ty tají voje kuročka. Chod, tak chodí po sadočku, kuča to čako ty tají voje kuročka.
And from Edmonton, Alberta, that was the Millennia Band from their brand new fabulous CD called Bratia. And that just arrived in the mail here at Nash Holos, and you're going to be hearing a lot more of this CD. It is absolutely outstanding. And this is the group's third CD. And that number that you heard was called Kurochka, the chicken, Ukraine's answer to Old MacDonald Had a Farm, a song about a whole slew of barnyard animals, and typically a Ukrainian, a little bit more earthy, I'd say, than Old MacDonald Had a Farm, kind of the adult, X-rated version of that kid's song. This is very adult. And at any rate, this song brings back fond memories of adult Ukrainian language immersion camp in Crystal Lake, Saskatchewan, which is very close to my stomping grounds growing up, and Brian Cherwicks from the Kubasonics you heard earlier as well, and many other people from around across Canada who've scattered since the homestead days. And incidentally, there were several people from right here in Vancouver's Ukrainian community at that same camp when I was there with my sister, so it was really very much like a old homecoming week. And that song is very popular in Ukraine. We learned at camp. This is a song that we all learned how to sing, and it's a great one if you can wrap your tongue around all those words. Again, that was Kurochka by the Millennia Band from Edmonton, from their CD Bratia. Now, that was one CD that came in last week, as well as the one by Volodymyr Mota, who you heard earlier. And we have another one that just recently arrived and also starts with an M. This is a group from Winnipeg called Molodsi, which means young people. And this is a CD that came to me courtesy Joan Lasco of the Female Beat. And she's got a vested interest in this CD because her daughter is a member of this band. And there's a real connection between that group, the Female Beat, and the Canadian Rhythm Masters. And these kids are definitely chips off the old blocks. They play fabulous music. This is another outstanding CD, and you're going to hear a lot of it. And very cleverly, they did a lot of instrumental versions of vocal tunes, and this CD, as a result, has 22 tracks. So that is just fabulous, and every single one is just great. Here they are now, Molodsi, with a song called Jichao Kozak Mistom, The Kozak Was Riding.
Їхав козак з містом під копитом, камін тріснув та раз, два. Під копитом камін тріснув та раз. Під копитом камін тріснув, Соловейко, маю свіснув та раз, два. Соловейко, маю свіснув та раз. Thank you.
пісну соловейко закувала зозуленька Тараса, закувала зозуленька Тарас. Соловейку, рідний брате, виклич мені дівча з хати Тарас, два, виклич мені дівча з хати Тарас. Мені дівча з хати, щось я маю їй сказати, Тарас, два, щось я маю їй сказати, Тарас, щось я маю їй сказати, чи не била вчора мати, Тарас, два, чи не била вчора мати, Тарас. Їхав козак з містом під копитом, камін тріснута раз, два, під копитом, камін тріснута раз.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up, Ukraine unable to repay IMF loan. And we visit a special school to help young people get off drugs. I'm Keith Parent. Ukraine is trying to delay its repayment of its $3 billion loan to the International Monetary Fund for 10 years. Ukraine is the second largest of any Eastern European country to hold a loan from the IMF. Creditors have been insisting Ukraine raise gas prices for households to balance the state budget. But with parliamentary elections just around the corner, this is bound to hurt the leading party's popularity. Dario Digut reports.
Ukraine is facing a crucial economic year. The Eastern European country, the second biggest debtor of the IMF, would have been unable to meet about $3 billion loan repayment by the year end. According to the Ukrainian officials, Ukraine is seeking to delay payment for 10 years. However, all the previous attempts to resume the cooperation with IMF failed, as the country rejects the basic terms of the new agreement.
Позиція одна.
Talks between Ukraine and the International Monetary Fund have reached an impasse. They have one position, to raise tariffs. There are no other problems, but we will not raise the tariffs.
The creditors insist on raising the gas prices for households in order to balance the state budget. But in the run-up to the parliamentary elections, this step will certainly hurt the leading party popularity.
It's very unlikely that the government is going to increase gas tariffs during the period before the election. But it's quite possible that they are going to do so right after the elections.
The other pre-electoral promise to raise the social benefits for population has also raised anxiety among experts. The government is going to spend almost $2 billion for this purpose.
Today, at a rough estimate to the Ministry of Finance, there are already additional income, which come primarily after exceeding value-added tax targets and due to the planned increase in revenues from income tax.
Recently, S&P, the U.S.-based financial services company, revised its outlook on the sovereign credit ratings on Ukraine from stable to negative. Some experts say that on the back of a forecast recession in the EU, Ukraine is again facing a notorious scenario as that of 2008, with the region's highest GDP drop and almost 100% currency devaluation.
To carry out its promises, the Ukrainian government is trying to draw new loans from China and Brazil, but experts say these countries will only act by the supervision of IMF. So the only source of cash for Ukraine is Russia, bringing about the possibility of high political price.
Ukrainian government has already drawn a $2 billion loan from Russia's VTB Bank to finance its fiscal deficit. Analysts, however, say that exceeding this debt can make the country fully dependent on Russia. Дар'я Дігуц, Київ.
Now, if I said to you we were going to visit the Tiger Dragon School, you might think we're heading to China, but we're not. The Tiger Dragon School is located in the Crimean Mountains in Ukraine and is an oasis for young people to escape the pressures of living in cities and to get clean from drug and alcohol abuse. And as we hear from Deutsche Welle's Aleksey Yaroshevsky, students are encouraged to live simple lives with a focus on physical and spiritual health.
Alexei from Ukraine's Crimea enjoys his new life, and gathering honey is one of his favorite hobbies. This man now finds it hard to believe that less than a year ago he was barely alive. Alexei was a drug addict until friends told him of a special school tucked away deep in the Crimean mountains.
At first I feared for my health if I stopped taking drugs. People at this school told me they'd give me some pills. I came here and saw these pills, sauna, cold spring water and a natural environment. We bathe in cold water every day and this is better than any medication. We enjoy this life with nature around us without drugs.
Opened in the mid-1990s, the Dragon Tiger School became the first of its kind in Ukraine. Over the past decade, it has helped several hundred young people to escape from drug addiction. Its director says they use only natural methods to bring youth back to a normal life.
The main mission of the school is to bring man back to nature. Humanity departed from nature and started stagnating. We integrate youths with basic elements like earth, wind, water, and fire. We want them to live just like our ancestors lived, respecting the goods of nature and completely self-sufficient.
At first glance, the school looks like a Buddhist monastery. Watching the physical exercises which students do, they look more like martial arts. And one corner of the school's grounds leaves almost no doubt about its essence.
This is the spiritual heart of the school. A piece of meteorite sits on a Buddhist pedestal, and this is where students recharge their energy, as well as marking the birth of each day with the ring of a bell.
But Valery Marzhin says that his school has no religious element whatsoever. He says in a fight against inner chaos, all faiths can offer good solutions. The school provides diverse means of self-reconstruction, regardless of a person's religious conviction.
We've got both physical practice and spiritual exercises. We develop both body and soul. We want our students to understand that their fate is in their own hands, so we also educate them. We have an extensive library and we do translations of historic books.
From just several followers in the mid-90s, the Dragon Tiger School has now more than 200 permanent students. It is not financed by the state, but its director says there are enough benefactors to aid their cause. The cause which he describes as a natural, non-violent healing of society. Aleksey Roshevsky, reporting from Ukraine's Crimea.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Parent.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. Joining us in conversation now is Zenon Kahoot, outgoing director of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies at the University of Alberta. Now, this is a name that is familiar to any student of Ukrainian studies in Canada, as he has written and published copious amounts of valuable and fascinating material on the topic. Yet, if you do a Google search for Zenon Kahoot, you'll get the impression that he is a modest man for all his accomplishments, and that getting him to talk about himself is probably going to be tough because he tends to focus, modestly and quietly, on his accomplishments and the work of the institution that he has been at the helm of for the past two decades. He'll be leaving his position as director of the CIUS later this year, and I was fortunate to convince him to come on to Nash Holos before that happens to tell us a bit about himself and the institute to which he's devoted the past two decades of his life. I caught up with him by phone at his office in Edmonton earlier in March.
Now, as director of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies, you started in 1992. in March. So that's exactly 20 years ago.
Well, actually, in 92, I came to CIUS from the States, but I was the director from 1994. And prior to that, in 93, I was an acting director. So my first position in 92 was not as director.
Okay, but you've got the tenure, you've got the time in, and I'm sure you were working hard from day one.
Oh, yes, very much. In fact, those were very heady days, and you worked very hard.
Yeah, it was fun work, though. Exciting times with Ukraine just being newly independent.
Exactly, and that was what made it so exciting, because we were trying to do everything from establishing some relationship with the newly independent Ukraine to providing information to the government, that is to the Canadian federal government as well as provincial government about Ukraine. We had many, many inquiries. So it was a constant effort in that respect. At the same time, we're still trying to do our normal activities, which were to provide these intellectual tools for the Ukrainian community and for the Canadian society. So it was like 24 hours a day of activity.
Indeed. Let's talk about some of those projects for listeners who may not be aware of them. The Encyclopedia of Ukraine, I remember, it was going on for, a decade? It's a long project.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Long project. And we've completed really in 95. And if you go anywhere, you'll see those huge five volumes of an Encyclopedia of Ukraine in English.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the end of it. We are continuing working on it now and getting it online. And constantly new entries are being done. And as you know, an encyclopedia is out of date. The day is published.
Right.
So you have to update it constantly. So it is an enormous project.
Yeah.
An ongoing project, a never-ending project.
Right. And so it's now online.
Yes. You can look it up at our website, the CIUS website. And it frequently pops up when you're doing Google searches, too.
Okay.
Individual items out of our encyclopedia.
Yes, I've certainly have encountered many when I'm looking for something, an entry from the encyclopedia will show up on Google, so that's very good. And that is a five-volume, and it's still available for purchase in the actual book form?
Yes, it is. And you can purchase it from the Ukrainian Study Fund in Toronto.
Ah, okay. And now, then you said you went on to another one, History of Ukraine Rus, the Tushevsky Translation Project, and what's that all about?
That is another huge project. As you know, Mikhail Hrushevsky wrote the fundamental history of Ukraine in 10 volumes, actually 11 or even 12 books. And the Peter Jacek Center for Historical Research has as a main goal of translating and basically even updating that fundamental work. And we've been doing that since the early 90s.
Wow.
In a way, this is a fundamental work which establishes the existence of the Ukrainian nation from, let's say, almost prehistoric times to the late 17th century. Hrushevsky never completed the work.
Wow.
And in a world in which denied the very existence of Ukrainians as a nation, this was a very fundamental sort of scholarly demonstrations that Ukrainians exist and have existed for a long time, that they do have a history.
And is it available for the general public?
Yes, through CIUS Press, one of the largest publishers of Ukrainian scholarly publications.
Now, that's just one of the many things you've done at CIUS. There were collaborations with other international universities, collaborations to work with Ukraine to, I guess, further Ukrainian studies since the field has been opened up after independence.
Yes, we have, and we have major projects in Ukraine, in Lviv, in Kharkiv, and in Zaporizhia. in KU, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have branch offices there, affiliate of CIUS.
Okay.
So in Kharkiv, we have part of the Kowalski Program for the Study of Eastern Ukraine. In association with Kharkiv University, there is also a Kowalski Institute for Ukrainian studies at Kharkiv University. I mean, we fund it and run it. And it's part of the curriculum at Kharkiv University in Ukrainian studies. It does a lot of publications in Ukrainian. It has a annual essay contest for students. It runs academic conferences. On the whole, the concept is to provide the people of Eastern Ukraine with sort of the materials they need to know their origins, their history. And so in that respect, it also is sort of a nation-making project.
Right.
And similarly, too, that institute that's located in Kharkiv has a filial also in Zaporizhia, in which we have also a major, major project that already has 20 volumes of an oral history project. And the interviews have been going on now for, over a decade. And these are interviews of ordinary people as far back as they can remember. So some of them extend as far back as the Holodomor. Most of them are from World War II on.
Wow. So these are people living in Ukraine and you're recording
yes,
their memories.
Yeah. They're going to the villages. So finding these materials and publishing is one of the functions of that. Then we have, in Kyiv, we work very closely with the Institute of History, with the Kyiv Mohyla Academy. We co-sponsor its academic journal, Kyivska Akademia, also talks, publications, and so on. And also the Institute of Ukrainian Archaeography, which is the publication of sources. In Lviv, we have a number of efforts. The major one is with both Ukrainian Catholic University and with the Lviv Ivano-Franko University to study modern Ukraine, modern being 19th century on. And in that respect, we fund a good journal, Ukraina Moderna, and also actually are involved in their master's and PhD programs in modern Ukrainian history. So we're quite well placed all over Ukraine.
Do you train, you provide materials then? How are you involved with all these academic programs in Ukraine?
I think the first and foremost is we provide the funding.
Ah.
They would not exist without our funding. But we also provide materials, personnel, people, all of these things.
Yeah. Wow. Did you have any problems getting them established in the first place? Did you run into opposition locally there with officials and politicians?
At the time we're establishing these programs, no. To tell you right now, there's sometimes some difficulties in maintaining it, but so far we've been able to do all of them. One program that I haven't mentioned yet, which we really run out of here, is the Baturin project, which for the last 8 or 10 years we've been doing these archaeological digs in the former Hetman's capital in Baturin.
Oh.
In eastern Ukraine. Baturin was the capital of Hetman Mazepa. It was thoroughly destroyed in 1708 when Mazepa opposed Peter I and razed the ground and all the people slaughtered. And it never really recovered. So it's mostly archaeologically reconstructing what the Hetman's palace was, what the various churches and so on. And we've been doing that in conjunction with the Chernihiv pedagogical institute, another university with their students, and with Professor Mazentsev from Toronto, from the University of Toronto, Pontifical Institute studies, providing some of the academic know-how, and the rest comes from Ukraine. So every year, let's say by June, we have these digs, and then they go up to September, and then they're covered up and then continued the following year.
Wow, what a project.
We've been doing this for 10 years already.
10?
With quite a lot of success, yes.
Wow, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Mm. Now, we've been talking about CIUS and its work in Ukraine, and of course it is a Canadian institution, and you mentioned there was a lot of funding going to Ukraine, but that's not, there's no Canadian tax dollars going to Ukraine.
Everything that's going to Ukraine is private donations. Over 60 endowments, people contribute specifically for projects. There is very little tax dollars going even into the institute. Our budget is at the University of Alberta, our operating budget, that is what the province gives the university or the university, is only one-third of our budget. Two-thirds is entirely out of private funding, grants, endowments, and contributions. We could not do even a tiny fraction of what we're doing based on what we get as an operating budget.
That speaks a lot, very, very well to the Ukrainian-Canadian community, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes. And we get funding all over. We get them from the States and even from Europe.
Mm-hmm. So you've made quite a mark then in the field of Ukrainian studies. Just briefly, for locals at the university, for students that attend the University of Alberta and take part in some of the programs. Well, what are some of the programs offered for students at the university through the CIUS?
Well, the institute itself is a research institute.
Oh, I see.
So outside of the institute, there are full programs that you can take in history, in language, in literature, and folklore, all the way from bachelor's to PhD. Now, the other things we offer to students as well as to the public, here is a full range of academic lectures every year, every semester, on various topics. We bring in speakers and so on. Sometimes those speakers speak not only at the university, but also at community functions.
Mm. So these are speakers from all around the world that you bring in?
Yes, right.
Mm. Wow. Certainly a lot of great work for Ukrainian studies and for telling the world, not just Canadians, about Ukraine and what's going on in the Ukrainian community here. For you now, you're winding down, though. You're going to be retiring soon.
Well, I'm not retiring. I am stepping down director of CIUS. I'm still going to be professor of history in the department, and I'm still going to be running one of these programs, the Kowalski program for the study of Eastern Ukraine.
Okay.
I'll still be managing that program, but running the entire institute, someone else will be doing that. And the university right now is undergoing an international search to find a successor.
Okay, so no rocking chair and golf clubs for you. You're still going to be working.
Yes, I'll still be working. Yes.
I get the impression that you probably will never retire. This is obviously a labor of
love.
That's
what my wife thinks, yes.
Yeah.
I'll never retire.
Obviously, you love what you do, and you've done wonderful things. Thank you so much for the great contribution that you've made.
You're quite welcome, and thank you for having me on your program.
And good luck in your new path that you're choosing, and hope to catch up with you sometime again soon and find out next steps of the project you're working on.
Okay, good. Bye-bye then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m., AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver and online at am1320.com. Elsewhere, Nash Holos airs on the PCJ Radio Network, on AM, FM, and shortwave radio around the world. Online, you can find us at www.nashholos.com, as well on the Nash Holos page at www.pcjmedia.com and on iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for the Stitcher app for your mobile phone if you haven't done that yet. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Не витягай дурного з біди, бо він тебе в неї затягне. And our proverb of the week translates as, do not try to pull a fool out of trouble, he will drag you in with him. Well, that just about wraps up another program here at Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us home, we've got another tune from Molodsi. This is one of those instrumentals I mentioned to you with the other tune that we introduced. And this is Hop Shoop Kanade, Coming to Canada. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobaczenia.